Welcome to My Orgasmic Life podcast, a show that where we talk about sex, love, relationships, and kink. And of course, my favorite part, I share with you my very graphic, very juicy, and always entertaining orgasmic life. I'm Gaia Morissette, your hostess, and your holistic sexual wellness specialist, your trauma healer, your BDSM expert, and of course, your pro dominatrix. The show was inspired to inspire you to support your orgasmic living. Remember, always check the content warning before you listen and make sure you're listening where no one else can hear it, because you never, ever know what I'm going to say, because I always come with an explicit graphic content warning. Now, strap in and enjoy the show. All right. So, welcome, my delightfully horny, hopefully, if not now, by the end of this episode, you will be. Or you might be, you know, upset and, you know, mortified. Either way, I've interfered in your day. Okay, so let's talk about, first of all, as a wonderful reminder, as I always start off, just a reminder that I'm also, when I record these episodes, I'm also live, which is wonderful. I'm live on my Loyal Fans page. So if you have questions, if you're a fan, you can, you know, subscribe or follow me, and then you'd be able to ask me questions as I create these recordings for this wonderful episode and podcast. Okay, we're going to talk about a topic that may be a little uncomfortable, or it might be so liberating. I'll leave it in your capable hands. As always, you don't have to continue to listen to me. You can turn me off at any time. All right. But I'd lovingly invite you to stay a little longer, because there may be something that upsets you for a reason, and there might be a good reason to like look at it. Okay. All right. So the reason I'm going to talk about this topic, and I've talked about my journey of becoming an ethical sexual sadist, and, you know, that episode is really great for you to listen to truly understand my journey and my fear, and, you know, how I was able to overcome, you know, those fears and really embrace it. And, you know, now, you know, when you're listening to me and I start talking about kinky things and I start, you hear my maniacal evil laugh, it's like there's just joy and glee and delightfulness. All right. So definitely go listen to that episode. It's way, I did it really early on of my orgasmic life. So I think it might be in the first 100 episodes, that episode. Okay. Second, let's talk about, the reason I wanted to talk about this is because so many people, even the kinksters, even in the kink world, are terrified of identifying themselves as a sadist. And I see it all the time. You know, people are like, oh, I'm a pleasure dom. I'm not a sadist. So many doms that are like, I'm not a sadist. I'm a pleasure dom, or I'm a sensory dom, or I'm some other, but I'm not a sadist. Everybody's like, I'm not a sadist. And it's like, there's this fear of being a sadist. And the reason that we have this ingrained fear of being someone knowing that we're a sadist, because the truth is that I did another episode that if you laugh at other people's misfortune, like bloopers, or when someone injures themselves, you find that funny, Somebody's, trapped on the side of the road, you find it entertaining or funny. You have to, see the accident that's happened because you're mesmerized by it. These might be indicators. I did a whole episode that you might be a sadist. Okay. So go listen to that episode as well. All right. And then come back and listen to this one. All right. And go listen to those two episodes and then come back. All right, so you've listened to those two episodes and now you're back. Welcome back. Mwah. Good to have you here. So, where was I? Oh, okay. So, there's this fear that if you acknowledge the part of you that is a sadist, and if you're a sexual sadist, that's even like worse as far as society is concerned, then there's something wrong with you. This is why we're afraid to admit it. This is why we're afraid to talk about it. This is why we're afraid to embrace it. This is why we're afraid. Okay. First of all, the only time we ever hear the word sexual sadist is at a crime scene on television. Right? Or as part of a pathology of a serial killer. And so because it's really like that word, sexual sadist, is so heated with that. That means that you're a serial killer. You're gonna start cutting up bodies, and you're a sicko, and it's a part of a crime scene, and all these things. And that wiring of the only time we ever hear those terms in that way is in such a negative light. Then the last thing we want anybody to believe is that we are a sexual sadist. Which all being a sexual sadist means, by the way, is that you gain sexual pleasure and joy and gratitude from others' discomfort. And that discomfort can look like discomfort in many, many different ways. It's not just all about inflicting harm or inflicting pain or, it's definitely not the extreme of, cutting up bodies and being a serial killer. Okay. It can be as simple as, enjoying humiliating somebody or watching someone squirm by asking them a probing question that they're uncomfortable to ask, or, sexually teasing somebody and denying them sexual release. Things like, orgasm control and orgasm denial. These are sexual sadist activities. Why are you enjoying denying that person to have an orgasmic release? Why are you enjoying it? You're enjoying it because somebody else is uncomfortable. They may also be turned on because they're probably a masochist. So they're enjoying being denied and tortured and feeling uncomfortable and discomfort and being in that, discomfort space. And your arousal response is in reaction to their discomfort. Again, that can be as simple and as subtle as asking probing questions. Asking somebody, what do they like? Tell me more about that. When they're like, I don't want to talk about it, which I'm really good at. I've embraced the full gamut of being a sexual sadist, minus serial killer part. I have no problem being turned on by other people's discomfort. It's what makes me good at everything that I do. And I use my superpower to for their betterment. So I'm an ethical sexual sadist because I'm working for the better good. So if I'm asking probing questions that are making somebody uncomfortable, it's because it's important for them to answer those questions, to embrace that they're safe and it's okay and there's nothing wrong, and to, change the any guilt or shame about whatever it is that I'm asking them about. And as a happy byproduct, I get turned on by the process. So it's a win-win. As you can hear my laughter. So I want you to, all the doms who are out there running around saying, I'm not a sexual sadist, I really want you to take a pause for a second. First of all, it's okay if you are. The key is to being an ethical one and not ending up as a serial killer, okay? There's nothing wrong with being a sexual sexual sadist, as long as it's consensual and as long as it's ethical and as long as nobody's being buried in the backyard or being disposed of in any body disposal, okay? There's nothing wrong with you. We all have a little bit of it in us, every one of us. That's why people laugh. That's why there's bloopers. That's why, like, it's part of who we are, and it's okay that it's who you are. The key is to finding the masochists who gain great gratification, both sexually, emotionally, physically, from being in a state of discomfort. And you know, that's the key. The key is to make sure that you pair up. The sadist and the masochist must be the proper team. Right? Being a sadist and inflicting discomfort on those who have not consented, who are not willing, and who are not a masochist is not being an ethical sadist. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about embracing being a sexual sadist from an ethical standpoint and making sure that you are okay and that you embrace it and that it's beautiful and that it's sexy and that it's hot and that everybody in participating is like loving it. And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing, I'm going to say this again. There is nothing wrong with being an ethical sexual sadist. The truth is, since I have embraced fully embraced without shame, without apology, without guilt, without worry that I am an ethical sexual sadist, I actually am a kinder, nicer, more present human being than I was when I was like, no, I can't be that. And I have to be super, I have to always be nice. And I always have to be that kind person. And I need to, you know, like I need to suppress that part of me that makes me wrong or, you know, dark or potentially evil. And so the more I used to suppress that part of myself, the more it would start to show up in other ways where I may be, you know, verbally mean to somebody and that didn't deserve it. And I might be angry or I might lash out or I might find ways to justify why it's okay for me to be an asshole, right? They deserved it. Like all of those things used to happen on a fairly regular basis. The more I tried to hide and suppress and feel shame about the side of me that really is a sexual sadist who loves making people uncomfortable. But I only love it from people who have given me consent. So, you know, I talk about, you know, all even asking probing questions. The people who I have in my life, they've all given me consent that I can ask them, you know, probing questions when I tell that there's something off and there's something going on. And, you know, even though that they're uncomfortable, I'm allowed to call them out on it. And like we've had conversations and they've given me consent to do that. And I only do that with people who've given me consent. And, you know, as far as, you know, the other kind of torture of, you know, hitting and spanking and nipple torture and CBT, I only do that only with people who have given me consent and with masochists. You know, the more I spend time with a sexual masochist, the more the sexual sadist comes out. More evil and maniacal and debaucherous I become, which the masochist is in heaven, right? Because they love it. That's what they're driven by. And I only ever allow the sexual sadist to come out and play as long as it's from a place of consent and caring and kindness and love, and never take it too far. And I never take it too far because I don't want to break my toy. I feel very honored that that masochist is giving me permission and consent. And, you know, of the two of us, I'm the one that I need to make the decisions because the masochist will definitely let it take it too, take will let me take it too far. So me as the sexual sadist, I need to, you know, reel myself in and make sure make sure I'm taking care of their emotional well-being, their psychological well-being, their physical well-being, so that, we can continue to play. So I want to take a breath for a second. Okay, let's breathe together. Take a breath in. Exhale. It's okay that you might be a sexual sadist. It might be okay that you may be a sadist without the sexual component because you haven't given yourself permission to gain sexual gratification from the joy that you really secretly have, from making others uncomfortable. And again, that uncomfortable isn't necessarily always about pain. That could be about squirming in their seat. That could be just making, asking questions to make people uncomfortable. Or it can be things like saying outrageous things that make people uncomfortable. Wearing outrageous clothes that make people uncomfortable. All of that to get a reaction from the world around you. That's being a sadist. You're gaining some kind of pleasure, some kind of joy from making others uncomfortable. And it may have not, you may not have embraced it yet, which is why it may not have moved from that activity to your genitals. But that's only a matter of time. It's like anything else, you know? If you give yourself permission, you will come. Right. Once we're like, all right, that's okay. Oh, it's appropriate. This is an appropriate moment for me to gain pleasure, and that pleasure can build, and that pleasure builds into a possibly orgasmic release because I have embraced it, given myself permission, and it's okay. So you may be a sensual dom and you may be a pleasure dom, but you also may be a sexual sadist in the fact that you're giving people pleasure and you're controlling people's pleasure and you're allowing them to have as much pleasure as you see fit for as long as you see fit. And you may be pushing somebody to their pleasure limits, which is uncomfortable, which creates, like I said, sadism. That is the definition of sadism, making up, gaining pleasure from others' discomfort. So you may be a pleasure dom, but you're also probably a sadist in there. The fact that you want to control somebody's pleasure, how far, how long, how much, taking them to the edge. Bringing them back from the edge. That's all making somebody uncomfortable, gaining pleasure from making somebody uncomfortable. Even if it's with orgasms, even if it's with sensory pleasure, it's still sadist. All right? So it's okay. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that you're going to be a serial killer. It doesn't mean you're going to end up on the news. It doesn't mean you're going to have a Netflix episode show about you. It doesn't mean anything. All it is true. And when we deny our truth and we suppress our truth, it comes out usually in dysfunctional and unhealthy ways and does more harm. And so that's why I wanted to say talk about this, is that once you embrace it and you say, okay, I'm a sexual sadist and that's okay. And I move with ethics in that, and that's okay. That's why it's okay, because I'm ethical in it. I only participate with people, masochists and others who have given me permission and consent to make them uncomfortable. That's what that does, like I said, gives you permission to be who you are, which often allows you to be a kinder, nicer, more loving human being because you're not suppressing this side of yourself. You're not feeling shame about this side of yourself. You're not feeling guilt about this side of yourself. You're not saying, this is wrong and I am wrong and there's a part of me that I hate. You're not loathing yourself. All of those things. Just own it and be honorable about it. Be ethical with it. Make sure it's all consensual, safe sense, safe and consensual. And you're good. Now, if you're like, whoa, I really hate you right now, Gaia, that's okay. Because the sadist in me is like, yay, I pushed you to look at something uncomfortable. And that's part of being me and part of my job in the world. And it's also part of being a sexual sadist. It's for the greater good, but I also get to enjoy it. And it's okay. It's okay that you're uncomfortable right now. It's okay that every time I say the word sexual sadist, part of you cringes. It's okay. Just take a moment to not be afraid of it and to look at it. And if it applies to you, then embrace it and own it and love that part of yourself and give yourself a safe space to and an environment and put yourself, in opportunities where you can explore what that means. Okay. And if you're really freaked out, I'm sure you've hung up on me. And if you really freaked out and you haven't hung up on me, then I'm really, really proud of you. Good job. And if you need some support on how to embrace this and how to move with this and how to, find a way to love this part of yourself that you've been told is wrong and bad and not okay, and then reach out. You can always find me at guymorissette.com. And reach out to me, and we can get you sorted out, whether that's with me or one of my, wonderful team that I have in my world that might be a better fit if I'm not the right fit for you. Okay. But you don't need to deny it. Denying it and suppressing it only makes things worse. This is where, you want to talk about, let's talk about serial killers for a second. The reason people become serial killers is because they suppress their stuff. And they suppress their stuff and they're not taught to move in a way that's okay and safe. And there's trauma and there's all these other variables. But like, it's in most of the horrible experiences and people become the horrible versions of themselves is when we deny who we are. And the more we try to suppress and deny who we are, the stronger those urges, the stronger those desires, the stronger they start to become a part obsessive, and we can't th stop thinking about them. It's that's where it becomes dangerous. That's where it becomes, ends up becoming, unhealthy and destructive in our lives and in lives around us. So I'm here to say the first step is to just admit it and own it and embrace it and find ways to express it that's safe and ethical. Okay. So, I am a proud ethical sexual sadist. And I have been a proud ethical sexual sadist for the last 10 years of owning it. And in the last 10 years, I promise you, I have not buried any bodies. All right. There's been no murders. I've not taken it too far. And me and many, 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 many other masochists have had an incredibly amazing time and will continue to have incredible, amazing time, as well as all the people who have benefited from me being who I am and helping the people around me who have given me consent to push their buttons and to ask them probing questions and to call them out on their shit has all made the people around me lives better, my life better by embracing it. And I will say this, before I owned it and embraced it, I didn't get consent for, making people uncomfortable. And there was a lot of backlash from the people around me. And it was, I wasn't as kind and nice, even though I was pretending to be kind and nice, on a daily basis. And there were, a lot of places where I was angry. I was angry and felt justified in, lashing out at somebody because they deserved it. And all of these things happened. And since and that was because I was suppressing this part of me. Once I embraced that part of me, I am actually genuinely really happy and quite kind and quite loving. Even when I'm in the dungeon, I'm very kind, very loving. Even though I'm like, fully letting my sexual sadist side out, it's from this beautiful place of love because I don't hate myself for it. So therefore, there's no anger in my sadist actions. There's only how can I make this person feel more uncomfortable than they already do because they want me to make them feel uncomfortable. And we get to enjoy this together. And the more I have that time, the more space I have, the nicer, the kinder, the more loving, the more patient I have become. So when we deny, and this is not just as a sexual sadist, when we deny a part of who we are, we can't truly hide it. It will come out in other ways, and it's usually toxic, and it's usually unhealthy, and it's usually destructive to ourselves and the people around us and the relationships that we have. So embrace who you are, whatever that is. Whatever hidden thing that you think that is not okay, the world should not know about who you are, you need to embrace it within yourself and find safe environments to express it. So that being said, as a sexual sadist, it's important for me to be in safe environments. You're like, what do you mean? So for example, I only really allow myself to fully express my sexual sadist sides with other sexual sadists because when I laugh hysterically at something that other people are mortified of, there's a little bit of a pushback of like, oh my God, you're a horrible human being. And people look at you like, oh my God, you're a horrible human being. So remember where you are. Once you embrace being a sexual sadist, remember that you still need to, you can embrace it, but you may not want to share those thoughts and feelings with others that are not either a masochist or a sexual sadist because it makes them very uncomfortable and they may react in a negative way. which then may internalize why C is not safe for me to embrace this. Okay, so that's a little trick that I really want. You know, it's one for wonderful for me to say embrace it, which I believe, but when you go to express it, make sure you're expressing it with other Zetas. So, for example, when I'm sharing about a session, here's a prime example. When I'm sharing about the details of a session with a client, with different people in my life. So the people who are have embraced being a sexual sadist, I'll tell them all the evil and maniacal and I was like, oh, I did this and it was so hot and I laugh hysterically and I do all the things, right? And so I share graphically what I was feeling and what it was like, and how the subby just loved it and they were moaning and they're begging for more and how hot that was, and the more they the more they struggled, the hotter it was, and I'll share those details in graphic details with the other sexual sadists. I have other people in my life who love hearing my adventures about what kind of things I get up to in the dungeon with my clients. But I will not go into the more they struggled, the hotter it was, the more I laughed. Instead, I'll just be like, oh, and did some flogging and, push some buttons and, like I kind of, not sugar coated, but I take off the that sexual sadist edge to my story time so that the person who's listening to it, who is not giving me consent to make them uncomfortable, I don't make uncomfortable. Okay. So, because with that person being uncomfortable, their reaction is this primal reaction, which is that oh my God, what is wrong with you? There's this, like, you can see it in their being, in their face, and their things, because they don't truly understand. They don't understand that that subby loved it 100%, was all in there with me, and the more sadistic I became, the hotter it was for them, and the more I embraced this whole primal desire and lust and my sadistic side, the hotter it was for me, the hotter it was for them. It just kept getting sexier and hotter and sexier and hotter. And so they don't understand. And when they don't understand, all they can think of is, oh my God, you hurt somebody and you enjoyed it. And there's something wrong with you because of their own fear. They haven't embraced, they may or may not have embraced the parts of them that are sadist. And they're moving from what we talked about in the beginning that, sadistic behavior leads to serial killers and, bodies are going to be buried at the, in your backyard. So, and you're going to be part of a crime scene. So that's where they're coming from. And then that reaction will then start why you hid it from the world in the first place and why you hid it from yourself in the first place. So I'm all for embrace who you are, let your, ethical, sadistic, sadistic sexual self fly, flag, fly. But do it in an environment where it's going to be received in a positive way until you're totally comfortable with it. And then you're like, then when you get that look of disgust on somebody's face, you're like, oh, right, you're not one of the, you haven't embraced yours yet. Here, let me tone this down a little bit. I am clearly not reading the room. I did not read the room. All right. But it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with me. I don't internalize it because I've embraced it and it's a safe environment. Like, it doesn't really matter if somebody reacts because I know that's their stuff. It's not my stuff. But, it's a good reminder. I'm like, oh, wait, yes, I did not read the room right. Okay, let's change my language and change my story and change, not lie about who I am, but let's downplay this a little bit to make it so that this person who's not giving me consent to make them incredibly mortified and upset calms fucks down and starts breathing properly and isn't afraid to go for a walk with me in the forest. So that's my takeaway. All right. Once you embrace it, make sure you share it with others who have embraced theirs. And again, I cannot say enough. Consent, consent, consent. And that's what allows you to move ethically. And embracing it and loving it in yourself helps you be true to who you are. And you will tend to be and become a nicer, kinder, genuine, nicer, kinder, sweeter human being because you've embraced it and allowed yourself space to be who you are. Okay? All right. Mwah. Run into any problems, as always, reach out to me at guymorissette.com. And for all your kink needs and education and mentorship, reach out to me at empressgaia.com. And until next time, here, all you sexual sadists, make sure you get consent before you make others uncomfortable. But once you do, enjoy it. I give you permission. All right. Bye-bye. Well, I hope today's episode inspired you, encouraged you, and of course, made you feel tingly inside. I just want to take a moment to tell you how much I appreciate the time that you spend and how I really deeply appreciate you listening. I do it for you guys, the audience, and I love and adore you guys. So, quick loving reminder, I am not available for naked pictures, getting married, having sex, or having anybody's babies. And when you want to spend more time with me in a professional capacity as your coach, your teacher, your educator, your facilitator, you can reach me at GaiaMorissette.com. That's the gateway to all things Gaia. Now, if you're like, oh, I really wonder what's in the extended version. I also lovingly invite you to follow me on Instagram, which the handle is My Orgasmic Life Podcast, where you can leave feedback and comments. Also, come join me on Facebook at My Orgasmic Life Podcast Facebook group. And I really want to hear from you. I want to know how this show affected you. What did you learn? Was it inspirational? Did you agree? Do you disagree? I want to know because I'm a little bit of a voyeur. So I want to know how am I affecting you? So please, please, please come leave some comments. Now, if you're like, but I don't want everybody to know what I'm thinking, which is okay. Sometimes we need privacy and we need to be anonymous. So you would like that option? We have that. Okay, listeners, until next time, may your life be filled with sexy exploration and orgasmic pleasure. Mwah. Bye-bye.